Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, with Pentecost, we now enter the Pentecost season. Each Sunday is a Sunday after Pentecost, this being the first Sunday after Pentecost. But it is also Trinity Sunday. Now, please remember, Pentecost has an emphasis on the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is a fulfillment of everything that Jesus had said. He had told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and he would teach them all things, bring to their remembrance what they had been taught, and when necessary, give them the very words to speak. And last week we saw that the Holy Spirit would also convict them concerning sin, that only through Christ can we be forgiven. Convict them of righteousness, that God is righteous and Christ lived the righteous life on our behalf. And that the Holy Spirit would convict us of judgment, that we truly stand under judgment without Christ because our deeds are worthless. We're sinners. With Trinity Sunday, we continue to look at the Holy Spirit, but now bring everything together with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we turn to our gospel this morning, John chapter 3, yes, where we find the very famous John 3:16 that you can see in almost any professional football game or something like that. Someone's always holding up a card. But understand, our reading is John 3:1-17. So it gives us the story behind John 3:16. It begins with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is identified as a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. Pharisee, it was a religious, political group that studied the law and were, quote, the experts in the law. They put forward a concept of works righteousness, that by following the law perfectly, we could attain righteousness and go to heaven. As a ruler of the Jews, it further notes or identifies who Nicodemus really was. If he was a ruler of the Jews, it meant he was a member of the Sanhedrin, or the group of 70, who ruled over the religious lives, over the temple of the Jews. So this Nicodemus, he came to Jesus at night. Why at night? Please remember, night for them, much different than us, no street lights, things like that. Well, he came because he, at night, because he didn't want to be seen. But at the same time, he came because he was inquisitive. Why was he inquisitive? What was he wondering about? Well, we see a lot of it right away in the very first word that he says to Jesus. He addresses Jesus as Rabbi. Now, we heard last week, and we also saw in one of the emails that I wear a stole. And the history of the stole was that the Jewish rabbis, the teachers, those who had been trained to teach the word, would wear a shawl or a stole. And for a Pharisee, someone who was very highly trained, to refer to Jesus, who had gone through no training, as a rabbi, as one worthy, shall we say, of wearing one of these, that showed a tremendous amount of respect to Jesus. And what he followed it up with really tells us what was going on. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. So who is we? The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. We know that you are a teacher from God. Well, how did they know? one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And so we see here the landscape. There is confusion, conflict within the Sanhedrin. Jesus is doing what only God can do. He is doing miracles, miraculous signs and wonders, but he is also teaching with a tremendous amount of authority and an adeptness in God's word that is beyond their comprehension. Remember, at 12 years old, they couldn't believe how wise he was. And so, here is Nicodemus, one of the experts, and here's Jesus, not an expert, but teaching in a way that the Sanhedrin members can't teach, and doing things that only God can do. So who is this Jesus? And are they to respect him and listen to him? Yet what he's teaching is contrary to what they believed and taught. And so there were probably some there who were saying, God's with him. We better listen. And there's probably but we're the experts in the law. What he's teaching isn't right. And Jesus comes back with three truly, truly, I say to you messages. Now in the Greek, it is amen, amen, I say to you. And amen means yes, it is so. And to repeat it, as we've heard before, is like a giant exclamation point. So it is yes, it is so, I tell you. Who is Jesus to tell the experts of the law anything? He's God. And therefore, as God, God's only begotten Son, he can tell those experts of the law a thing or two. So he begins with, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And with that statement, he is really addressing the issue that is there before the Sanhedrin. And he's working off of exactly what Nicodemus has said and the obvious conflict, confusion within the Sanhedrin. But notice how Jesus addresses it. Unless one, a person, a Sanhedrin member, is born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom of God. And again, remember, those of you in Bible study, I'm sure remember this. The kingdom of God for the Jews was a phrase that meant God actively at work in our physical world. So unless a person, a Sanhedrin member much less, is born again, he can't see God at work in this physical world. He has to be born again. And Jesus makes the point. He must be born of flesh and must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus comes back, and this now is a huge debate. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time? the second. Truly, truly, amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And very sadly, people stop there. They basically interrupt Jesus' words and they begin to argue. They begin to argue and say, when he says, unless one is born of water, he's referring to the water being broken when a woman gives birth. And when born of the Spirit, well, that then is when someone decides for Christ and they are born again. That's the second birth. But Jesus didn't stop. He didn't pause. So it would be good for us to take this whole statement without breaking it up. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So Jesus is again making the point, you are born of flesh, and you are born of Spirit. And unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't be born again. So born of flesh is born to a woman. Born of the Spirit is born again. And when you're born of the Spirit, it is water and Spirit together. This is a reference to baptism. Baptism is the very first step in becoming born again. And notice, being born again is an action of the Spirit. It is not our action. It's the Holy Spirit working a miracle. Faith in the heart of sinners. Faith in the heart of a baby. Only God can do that. And Nicodemus is hit with what Jesus is saying and says, how can this be? And here comes number three. Truly, truly, I say to you, now listen carefully. We speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. He comes back to Nicodemus with three we's. Three, the number of God, and then brings it together with our. Who is he referring to? Excuse me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. The Trinity's testimony. God the Father appointed prophets who, as we read, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they prophesied. God the Son, he spoke. He bore witness to these things. And he acted as only God could act. And he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who would work faith and would do everything we've been talking about during this Easter season. Teach them all things, bring to their remembrance, give them the words, convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's the Holy Spirit who comes and works faith, and he was there trying to work faith in Nicodemus and in the members of the Sanhedrin. The problem was they, the sinners, the religious leaders, were their own stumbling block. They were the experts, and they couldn't see God's only begotten Son right in front of them. And Jesus promised he would send the Holy Spirit with power. He did, as we heard last week. And Peter, the disciples, preached in the languages of all men. Certainly that changed their opinion, right? No. And so Jesus continues and says, I, the Son of God, I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe. Told them parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. He backed them up with miracles, heavenly changes to the very laws of earth. And they still didn't believe. So Jesus says, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If you can't see the obvious in front of you, how are you going to believe the heavenly things? It gets back to, how can you understand heavenly things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can comprehend, if you can't even understand that which is right in front of you? And he takes Nicodemus back to his home turf, the Old Testament, to our Old Testament lesson today. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And here is where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And you know, that's another verse we probably shouldn't interrupt. We should say John 3:16 and 17. Because God sent his Son to save. He did not send his Son to condemn. And we see Jesus doing exactly that as he works with Nicodemus. And God has always worked for the salvation of men, as he sent the Spirit to work faith in the prophets, and through the prophets in the people. And he sends the Spirit to us yet again, but now with more, with power, through our baptism. We are born again, born of the Spirit. And as spiritual people filled with the Holy Spirit, we understand we are sinners. We understand we're born of the flesh, born of the woman, and on our own, we can't understand. But we understand because we are born again, and we understand what God has done for us. We believe in his Son, Jesus. We rejoice in our salvation, and we act in accordance with the Spirit. And it took a while. It took a while for Nicodemus. But I think, I can't say this 100% for sure because I'm not God, but we see that the rulers of Israel followed Jesus out to Calvary. They watched him nailed to the cross. They watched him being lifted up. And Nicodemus was one of those rulers. And I think at that time, John chapter 3 came back to him. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, And if we look to him, we have salvation. And what do we see? That after Jesus was lifted up and he died, it was Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, another Sanhedrin member, that together boldly went to Pilate, asked for Jesus' body, and gave him a proper burial with the finest oils, spices, in Joseph's own tomb. I would contend Nicodemus became born again. I bet it was not long after that that he became baptized. Dear brothers and sisters, there it is. Trinity Sunday. We see Father working. We see Spirit working. We see Son working. All so that we might be born again. It's something that he does in our life. It's something he does through baptism and the miracle of the water combined with God's Word and the Holy Spirit that begins that journey of faith, of being born again for whoever comes to the baptismal font. It's just like next week as we celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord's table. The Lord works a miracle. He comes to us through the bread, through the wine, bringing forgiveness, bringing the Holy Spirit, bringing a strengthening of faith. This is what the Pentecost season is about. Seeing the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom, his action here on earth, right here, right now. We dare not interrupt him and say, oh, no, that's not a reference to baptism. That water thing, that's actually tied to the birth, the physical birth with the woman. Why would Jesus repeat himself? Why would he say, born of water, and then immediately afterwards say, born of flesh? Why did he tie the water together with the Spirit? If he meant water and flesh, he would have said, those born of water and the flesh are flesh, and those born of Spirit are Spirit. But he tied the water to flesh. And this is why, or to Spirit, and this is why baptism is such a wonderful gift from God. It's God coming and doing the action. And may we all believe and be baptized and be saved. Because God did so.